I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 45. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 45.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 45 reads this way. It says, "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us into your truths, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives strengthened in the faith that you've given to us to truly be the witnesses of your great grace. Bless, Lord, and if there be one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you help them to see that and know you even today. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Who Touched Me?" or "Touching Jesus," touching God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk with him. He says, "Follow me. I want to show you the ways of life. I want to show you what life is really all about." And I believe you're here this morning to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you're here to worship the Lord. And that's an important thing. And God wants to guide us in those ways. God wants us to experience the Lord. And so as you're here this morning and we're thinking about worshiping the Lord, do you have your thinking cap on? Do you have your? It requires us to think a little bit. And then I want to ask you, have you made preparations to meet with the Lord this morning? And if not, you can write there where you're seated, say, "Lord, help me to hear from you." God hears that prayer. And God wants to guide us into the truths that we'll look at here this morning. And so the Lord asks this question. Let me ask you this. When the Lord asks a question, do you think he has a purpose behind the question? Or do you think he just threw a question out there just for fun, right? As people, some might say, just for fun. Not anything serious, but just for fun. And obviously we know that the Lord has a purpose behind everything. He not only has a purpose, but it is intricately involved. You know, I was looking at these flowers this morning. Are these real flowers? They are amazing, are they not? They are amazing. That is just something else. Look at the beauty of God's creation, and he uses us and the ladies here to arrange them into, wow. And if you were to study that flower underneath a microscope, we would see some more. As we take a closer look at what God is doing, it becomes more and more impressive. Now, I'm not downing artists. I have a daughter who loves to paint. But painting artwork is an amazing thing, right? Some of these big pieces, you look at them from a distance and they're like, wow. And then you get a little closer and you get closer, and then all of a sudden it looks different, doesn't it? The closer you get to it, and don't get me wrong, it's impressive, but you might see some things that's, oh, well, those are just a bunch of lines put together, yes, in a particular way, but sometimes some things are seen that maybe wasn't intended to be seen, and it's better off looking at those things at a distance. But the closer you get to God, the greater your vision will be of the wondrous works of God and his grace in our lives. And so this morning, God asks a question with a purpose, and we'll consider helpful truths. And by the way, listen, are missed when we don't consider why and what the Lord is doing and saying. Why, Lord, are you doing that? Why did you say that? And so I want you to know, God wants us to be witnesses of his grace in this world. But he wants us to be careful not to be part of the world. That's a confusing concept. Wait, we're in it, but we're not supposed to be part of it. Well, God wants us, here it is, ready? Ultimately, the end of world history will be a culmination of Satan's kingdom, the world system, and God's kingdom. And we know who wins. I mean, it's a hands down. I don't understand why Satan is following through with this. He knows he's going to lose. And the Bible says that during the end times that he's going to heat things up, and God is going to allow him to do these things because he knows his time is short. Question, has evil been escalating at an unbelievable rate here in the last, I would say in the last 10 years, but my goodness, in the last 5 years, it's become even more prominent. It appears that Satan is heating things up because he knows his time is short. Now, I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but listen, be prepared like he can come today. Be prepared like he can come before the service is over. Amen? But plan and occupy in this world as God has called us to be in the world and by the way, not of it. Now, listen, the Lord says, I don't want you to be part of the world system, but you have to be in it because otherwise you'd have to be taken out of it. And that's 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10. He says, listen, in fact, hold your place right here and just go over there just for a moment. 1 Corinthians, it's good to see the Word of God. It guides us and directs us. 5:10, 1 Corinthians 5. In fact, look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then, listen, he says, for then thou must needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother with a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, not to eat. Now he says, listen, he says, if you look real carefully, he says, I'm asking you not to company with them, but I'm not asking you not to confront them or not to minister to them. Because if we had no part in the world, he said, well, then I would need to take you out of the world. Does that make sense? This is important. So God wants us in the world, but he does not want the influence. Because listen, everything that is in the world will always revert to Satan. Okay, now listen, God wants us to use the things of the world for his kingdom, but he does not want us to get caught up in the world system that is going towards Satan. So for example, and by the way, I cannot tell you this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. In fact, I can tell you, I can't be specific, but here's what I can tell you that God wants us to do. Seek him in everything that you do for direction. Because, for example, the world is in panic mode right now. Well, the United States is in panic mode because of the supply chain. Is that not true? The world is flipping out over the price of eggs. Is that true? Amen. And we can too. But the world is also saying, boy, you better hurry up and get all these things. Get all you can all you get and sit on the lid. Right? Now listen, there's a time for that. All I'm saying is I'm not telling you if that's the thing to do or not the thing to do. What I'm telling you is that you need to seek God to make sure that you're doing the thing that he wants us to do. We don't want to panic like the world. God's promised to provide for us, but I do want to remind us of Joseph during the time of Egypt that God gave him insight that, listen, you're going to have some plenteous years and you're going to have some famine and you're going to set some things back because that's going to take care of the future. So what I'm trying to tell you is you got to be careful that you don't get caught up in what the world is doing, because what the world is doing is reverting and going towards the kingdom of this world that is in opposition to the kingdom of God. All right? And so it can be a little bit, if we seek the Lord personally for that, it's so important that we seek God's will for us personally to direct us so that we can know that what we're doing is to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Case in point, ready? Listen, let me just kind of explain how things work, and we're going to look at something here that's very important. All right? So, for example, I don't know if you know this or not, but Harvard was a godly institution. It was created to prepare men and women for ministry. And so was Yale, and so were these other Ivy League schools. But what happened was, and the reason why, is because the founders had a purpose to equip and prepare people to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were very fervent. They were of the mind of God to use education. By the way, the education, and see, this is where you got to be careful, is of the world also. But does that mean that we don't educate ourselves? Absolutely not. Listen, science is of the world also, but does that mean that we don't study science? Absolutely not. We need to ask God's guidance in all these things so that we don't get carried off in the direction that it's obviously going into. So what happened was the founders of these Ivy League schools that built these seminaries died. And then the next generation rose up and did not have as high a regard for the purpose of that. See, what was happening is it was reverting and it's becoming more and more ungodly than it is godly. Amen. Science also, I mean, Isaac Newton, all these, they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I've mentioned this before, and he's the father of calculus, or discoverer of calculus anyway. And so, I saw that. Some of you don't like calculus, but that's all right. But here it is, ready? It was a good thing, and he studied the Bible, and God opened him up to learning these things. And then as he studied the Bible in conjunction with science, and he put all those things right, and he allowed facts. He didn't allow presuppositions or ideas to run the truth of what he was able to see. He didn't just base himself on theories that could not be proven. He based himself on the facts of the Word of God. And so he was reading in there in the book of Daniel, and in the book of Daniel it says that people will increase in learning and be running to and fro. But it wasn't a good thing. And then because the world was going to become more ungodly. My goodness, I think we have an increase of knowledge like never before. A lot of it's bogus, but we still increase in knowledge in our hands. And we're traveling. My goodness, you know, it used to be that only the very wealthy people traveled. Now anybody can jump on an airplane and go anywhere in the world, right? So here's what he said. He said because of what he saw in the book of Daniel, he said, it wouldn't surprise me if men wouldn't be able to travel some 40 or 50 miles an hour one day. And Voltaire, who was an atheist, philosopher, scientist himself, promoted himself to be, you know, one of noble learning and a lot of knowledge, laughed. And he said, oh, that's such a hilarious thing. This is my case in point of how Christianity makes a fool out of an otherwise smart man that knows science. He said, doesn't he know that at 40 or so miles an hour, the human heart could not take it and it would stop and they would die? How many of you drove over 40 miles an hour this morning? You see, who was the fool? Because the fool has said there's no God. Amen? So that's important. But we need to be careful that we don't get carried off into the world and what it's doing. We're in the world, we're not of the world, and God sends us into the world to shine the light of Christ. And so there's God's way, amen? And you have to seek that so that, Lord, don't let me get swept away. And listen, investing and saving, all that is good if that's what God is directing. But if we're moving on compulsion in our own, and not asking God, what would you have me to do? I want to be somebody who is faithful to invest in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of this world that's passing away. I want to be a wise steward for the honor and glory of the Lord, and I believe you do too. And so this morning, I want you to see that the world has its idea and philosophy that belongs to Satan, and God has his kingdom that his people ought to be focused on to bring honor and glory to the Lord through that system. So with that thought in mind, I want to bring you back to the Gospel of John just for a moment, and I want you to see some things that the Lord is saying to his disciples, and this is important. And again, we're looking at this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, who touched the Lord, and yet, keep this thought in mind, was there more than one person touching the Lord at that time? Listen. The Lord said, who touched me? And the disciples, in fact, the narrative there is saying that people were thronging him and pressing on him, and so there was all kinds of people everywhere. And the Lord asked that question because in the midst of all this chaos that is taking place, the Lord took notice, didn't he? And by the way, the Lord knew it, and this woman knew it also, and that's important. So it is possible in the hubbub of life, and my goodness, there's more craziness going on today than ever before, we can still touch God, and God knows when we touch Him, and He wants us to. John chapter 14, verse 12, I want you to see what the Lord is saying here, and we're going to take notice of the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. It doesn't understand it. We can share the gospel message because that's the power unto salvation. Listen, forget about the angels and forget about the rapture when you're dealing with the lost people. The only thing that's going to matter to them is what are you going to do with your sin debt? The only thing that you can do is you're going to stand before the Lord in your sins and give an account. And that's condemnation. By the way, we're already condemned. We're already condemned. The Bible says God's not going to weigh out our good and our bad. That's a lie of the devil. The Bible says our righteousness, all this good stuff that we think we have, is an abomination. It's sin in the eyes of God. It's unrighteous. Even our good things, and we'd say, wow, that's a hard God. No, listen, He is a holy, perfect, righteous God. Listen, are we sinners by birth? So it doesn't matter if we do good or bad, that's still sin in the eyes of God. Our good works is not going to justify us by the Lord. You can do it with the best of intentions. It's still marred, right? It's still marred. But you don't understand, it's just a little bit, and I got all this good. Well, I hate to illustrate it like this, but if I had a clean glass of water and put one drop of dirt in there, would you drink it? You know, and especially if that dirt came from something that was like putrid, you'd say, no, I would want. And so likewise also, the Lord cannot accept it. But here's the good news. Ready? God sent His Son to take our place. Amen. And He's already done it. It's already been done. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait for it to be done. It's already been done. All we have to do is say, oh God, I'm undone and I want to receive Your Son. Amen. God has to help us see, and if we got our hard heart or we got our own ways, God has to help us to see that our good is no good. That our good is no good, and only His righteousness can wash away my sins. Only the blood of Christ, because that was the perfect sacrifice. You want to debate the sacrifice? You're not listening. You're not opening up to the Spirit of God that says, "I've done it for you. But that doesn't make sense to me." Well, God's ways are higher than our ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because He's already paid it, and all I have to do is say, "I receive that, Lord. I see my sin. I trust You." And He says, born again. And once you're birthed into the family of God, just like you were born in your family, whether you like them or not, that's your family. Amen. You could change your name, move 100 miles away, it's still your family. Why? Because you were born into that family. You could wish you had a different one. I hope you don't, but you could. That wouldn't even change it, would it? That's your family. And here's the thing, when you're born into God's family, praise God, nothing you can do to change it. And the world fights with that. The saved child of God rests in that. Praise the Lord. All right, watch what the Lord is saying right here. Look at verse 12. Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, listen, I didn't say this, the Lord said, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, who are these ones that are going to do the same thing that the Lord did? Believers. Isn't that what it says there? He that believeth on me? Are you a believer in the Lord? Amen. Well, I didn't say it. God said it. Now here's where you're going to wrestle with yourself or yield to the Word of God. I didn't make that up. I'm not misunderstanding that. I'm seeing it. Jesus is saying the same thing he did will his believers do also. And he's going to tell us why. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works. Wow. Than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Now you can go back and read later, but just skip down to verse 16 for right now. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Remember I told you in the past, greater than anything I could ever teach you is what God reveals to you through His Word. Because that's personal. Amen. That is personal to you. I can teach you things, but what we really need, and it comes by teaching the Word of God, is the personal revealing of God saying, this is what that means for your life. And we go, woo, praise the Lord. I see it now. Amen. I see it and understand it now. Right? The Lord told Peter so many things that he did not understand during his earthly ministry that afterwards they understood. And so God's got to bring us to that place. So again, he says, I want you to know that a comforter is going to be given to you. Why? That he may abide with you for how long? That's so important. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world, listen, cannot receive. The world can't see it. You cannot, listen, forget about explaining spiritual things other than the gospel of Christ to the world. They'll never understand it. And please, please, do not listen to them telling you how to interpret spiritual things. Please, forget that. The Bible says they don't even know it. Well, I think Christians ought to, forget it. That's their thinking. That's not God's way. And they'll never know it. They can't know it, the Bible says. Because they're spiritually discerned, you have to have the Spirit. So again, verse 17, he says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But listen to this, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, the time has come that now he dwells inside every believer at the point of salvation. So we praise God for that. Now, you're right there in John. Go to John chapter 17. And this is important because we're in the world, we're not of it. And you have to seek God's will for your life. Listen, this is new to me. 10 years or so, I used to tell people, well, this is. I really never felt comfortable telling anybody when they asked me A or B, what do you think is the will of God? I never felt comfortable telling people, ever, really. But I've come to the conclusion, I can't know that. Only you can. It's between you and the Lord. The Lord's not going to reveal it to me. I can tell you what the Word of God says, and I can give you counsel, but I will never say, this is what I think you ought to do. Nope. You decide that. I cannot tell you how to live your life, but God wants to. And so listen, no man, God has indwelt you with the Holy Spirit for that specific purpose, for you to know who, by the Spirit of God that's in you, what you should do. And here's the whole thing too. Listen, I want you to know something. This might surprise you. Even maybe it might even surprise my wife. I'm not always right. See how ridiculous that sounds? See how funny that is, right? How can a human being be so adamant about anything? About anything, unless God is guiding them in that. And be patient. And be patient with yourself. Because God is. We make mistakes. And aren't you glad God has not washed his hands of us? So walk humbly before the Lord, because you might have it wrong like Peter did a few times, right? And so be patient. Listen, John 17 verse 13, this is important. Notice what it says. And now come I to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Not the joy of the world, because they're in the world. Does God want us in the world? Yes, to be lights. Whose light? His light. But please, don't look to the world and don't do... Because the world is doing it, that's not the right thing necessarily. It may be that God wants you to do some of those things, but bring it before the Lord, and God wants you to know whether or not that's his direction for your life. So watch this. And now he says, come I to thee. This is Jesus speaking. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at what Jesus is saying. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Where? That's in the world. The evil that would mislead us, because the prince and the power of the error of this world system belongs. Listen, God is saying, don't get caught up in it. You have to tread carefully, ready? Some of you have told me you've had certain procedures done, and you've heard this, even if you've not ever had anything done, and they have given to you some painkillers, opioids, some kind of a narcotic. And here's what I've heard many times. They've given it to me in the hospital, and they sent me home with some, and I don't take them. I'll deal with a little bit of pain. Or I might break one in half. They might say you could do this every so many hours. I might take one in a day or a half of one in a day. Why? Because you're afraid of being addicted, and rightly so. Because that, and how many times have you heard people that never had anything to do with drugs become drug addicts because they've had some procedure and they were on it for an extended period of time, maybe out of necessity, because they had a serious surgery, and now their lives are wrecked by that same thing that was intended to help them. So when we go into the world, listen, if God's calling you to be a doctor, but tread carefully, because you are in the realm of satanic influence. If you're an educator, be careful. Whatever your place is, walk carefully that you don't get taken away and caught up in what's destroying the world. And then neglect the use of God's calling and gift in your life, and not allowing it to be a blessing to the kingdom of God, but just another pathway to destroy. Listen, do you know the devil knows he's not going to get a child of God to believe the lie that salvation is by works? Not going. And in fact, listen, there are some things that Satan is just not going to fool the believer into doing. Sins, certain sins, is just not going to do it. But he does have the masterful craft of the world system to get believers swept away in. He knows. He's very deceptive. He is the master of deception and the father of lies. And so we need to be careful not to get caught up in that. So he says, verse 14 again, I have given them thy word, that's what we have, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so the Lord is wanting them to understand believers are in the world, not of the world system, because that belongs to Satan. Be careful as you walk in this world not to get caught up. Okay, go over to verse 18 right there in chapter 17, John 17, verse 18. Listen to what he says now. As thou hast sent me into the world, a lot of going into the world, isn't there? Listen, God wants his people in every part of the world. That is upright, in every profession that is upright, for his honor and glory. But you have to, wherever your field of work is, God's not calling you to come out of that. You'd have to be a hermit, or as the Bible says, he'd take you home. You'd have to be completely out of the world. No, he wants your light that he's given to you to influence the world for his honor and glory. So, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 19. As for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. The word has been penned down in the scriptures. We've been preached the word of God, or we read the word of God, and that's the next generation. That they all may be one, listen, all of us, as thou, Father, listen to this, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, we have to be in the world, but we need God's guidance in it, or it can take us away. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as I have loved them. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's what God wants us to see, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, listen, I do want to call you back to Luke, and the sermon is almost done. That's really, it was really an extended introduction to understand an important truth. And that is that even, listen, we are in the world, God still wants us to touch him. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of upheaval, is the world upside down? And it's not getting any better. God still wants us to have his peace and his joy, that the world might see the difference. So very quickly, ready? Just three thoughts. Trouble in the world. Look at verse 40. And it came, Luke chapter 8, if you're not back there, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. This is all these people. And we're all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and now we have this woman. So here's what I want you to see. Look, is the Lord our example? Jairus' life is flipped upside down. Was the Lord a blessing to this man? You and I are in Christ, and Christ is in us to go into the world to bring healing to the people in the world that will hear. We are to be the light and the salt of the earth. But listen, if we're caught up in the world, the devil would just have us to look at ourselves and what we need to do for ourselves. God says, I'll provide all that if you'll seek me first. I'll give you all that if you'll trust me, faith, if you'll believe in me. And by the way, God will guide you to save up or whatever it is. I'm not telling you that this is the specific things. I can't tell you that, but God wants to tell us. All right? So here's Jairus' life. Then there's this woman who touched the Lord in the midst of chaos. Again, I'm just going to skip through because I already told you the main part. I just want you to see this truth here. Look at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him. She was helpless. She spent her money and she got the worst. Mark, I know I preached out of this the first day of the year in January about the woman who touched the Lord. And it goes into more detail that the physicians made her worse, and she spent everything, but now understood something about the Lord. And so, verse 44, came behind him, speaking of Jesus, because the physicians couldn't heal her, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. She knew it. The moment she received healing from the Lord, she knew it. By the way, the moment we receive anything from the Lord, you're going to know it's from God. Yes. And you'll become more familiar the more you ask him. But if you never ask him, you're never going to receive. Right. Listen, God will amaze you personally. Listen, all you can do is what God said. Ask and you'll receive. Hold him to it. It's God's promise, not mine. And God, listen, God's not a liar, and he won't lie to you. And so take God at his promise. That's you trusting God. That's you putting your faith in what God has said. And here's a beautiful thing. It doesn't have to make sense. Amen. All you have to know is it's the truth. And if it's the truth, it can't be a lie. And if it's the truth and God said it, you can rest assured. And God will bring you to understand how that all works. And so she touches the Lord. Look at this. And here's what I want you to see, really. The woman touches the Lord, and the Lord's attention is given to her in the midst of chaos. Listen, question. Did the Lord know who touched him? So why did he ask? Why did he ask? He wanted the disciples to understand something. That in the midst of chaos, the Lord, in the midst of this is not a good opportunity. Oh, yes, it's the best time. to come to Jesus, either for salvation or for wisdom or for stop. If your world is upside down, stop and talk to Jesus. You can talk to him in your car, and you don't even have to close your eyes. Please don't close your eyes if you're driving. And talk to Jesus. Turn the radio off and talk to God. By the way, listen, 90%, I'm throwing a statistic out there, okay? Maybe more, of what you hear on the radio is not the truth. Even if it's a song, it's not the truth. The truth is found in one place, in the Word of God. And when you get alone with the Lord, he wants to talk to us, and he wants us to hear from him. All right, so very quickly, ready? And so she comes behind him, and she touched him. Her issue of blood stanched, verse 45. And Jesus said, this is wonderful, who touched me? When all denied, he was waiting for that. This is a lesson for us to learn. You know what he's saying? Everybody around him said, I didn't touch him. Now, the woman was keeping quiet for this moment here. All right? For whatever reason, she was keeping quiet. And so all denied. When all denied, after some little bit of time where everybody denied, Peter chimes up, speaks up and says, Peter, and they that were with him said, Master. So all of them are saying, yeah, but what Peter said, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know what they're saying? That's the most ridiculous thing. But there's nothing ridiculous about what God says. It is a learning opportunity, if we'll take it. The world is flipped upside down right now, and we can still touch the Lord. And by the way, listen, just as we would be very careful about any kind of opioid or any kind of morphine, whatever derivative, because we're trying to heal, we need to walk even more cautiously in this world. And so if that be the case, God, guide me that I don't get caught up in things, not bad things, but in the system of the world that will take your heart away from God. Not bad things, but where you will neglect the word of God and your seeking of the Lord, and he'll be just a secondary thing. To the child of God, he can never be unimportant, but just not as important as he should be, that we might receive his blessing. So we need to be careful about that. So he says, who touched me? Verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people, this is the glory of God, for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Look at what the Lord says, and we're done. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, your trust, hath made thee whole. Go in peace. When we touch God, we get the peace of God that passes understanding. Paul said that. A peace that passes understanding. Doesn't come from the world or the things of the world. It comes from God and him alone. So this morning, God wants us to touch him. God wants us to walk with him. God wants us to be in the world, but not of it. And here's the clue, ready? We can have the best of intentions. We can't do it without him. We need the Lord, not just for salvation, but that we might not get taken away in the things of the world that are passing away. That they might be put, Lord, I need you to put them in proper perspective. God's not saying you can't have wealth. God's not saying you can't have the things. Just let him guide you in those things so that you know whether whatever it is, if he wants you to invest, there's all kinds of things that can be done good for the glory of God if we'll just ask him. Amen? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Whatever the need might be, closer walk with the Lord, he wants to give it. Wisdom and understanding, it's in the Lord. Salvation comes from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the guidance that it brings into our lives, the direction that it gives. Lord, we are prone to wander. It's our nature, and you know that. The world is trying to lure us away, to worry about it, to seek it out for fulfillment, at neglecting you, Lord. And we ask that you would just give us a heart for you. Lord, you're not trying to rob us. Satan would have us believe that you would take all the good things away from us when in fact you want to bless them and allow us to use them for your honor and glory. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, draw us near, that we might call upon you. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that may not have the assurance of eternal life, open their eyes, Lord, that they might see that salvation is a gift from you that you've provided. And all they have to do is simply trust, repent, Lord, and receive the salvation that you've given. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.